Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Houston, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is a Friday edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Week 10, Lions coming to town. The game that I had jotted down as the home game of the year for me before the season. The home game I was most looking forward to was the Detroit Lions coming to town for Sunday Night Football. And I think based on where the Texans are right now over the last few games, the issues along the offensive line, the injury report, if I could have that one back, I might. No, screw that. This is an opportunity for the Texans to get back all that equity that they seemingly have forfeited over the last 3 weeks as a team to the fan base. Even though they're 6-3, everybody's a little edgy right now. So welcome in. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays. You can hear us on 610 on your AM dial, on your Odyssey app, sportsradio610.com. You can watch us on YouTube and Twitch as well. A lot of ways to consume the show, so we appreciate that. And, of course, this podcast, if you're listening to it, you can continue to listen to it wherever you get your podcasts, or if you're listening to it and you'd like to watch it, it is on YouTube as well. So you can watch the stream of it if you care to see what my high-rise apartment looks like during November. Pretty soon, there will be a Christmas tree right behind me because my wife likes to set up for Christmas. Honestly, what is it today? November the 8th? Usually she's set up already. Usually she's like shoving the Halloween stuff aside and Santa comes in. So my guess is that'll be the activity for this weekend for her. So we'll see. But this may be a much more decorative, just kind of holiday spirit vibe going on. Maybe even as early as the mailbag next week. The post-game episode will probably be done from the stadium, and I'm hoping that it is a victorious one. Right now, the Lions are 3.5-point favorites over the Texans, at least last I checked. I will check again as I talk to all of you guys on here. Yep, still 3.5. And that's actually a good lead-in for a couple of things here before I get to the six-pack and preview this game for you. The line has not moved, and the Texans are going to be, it would appear, I've not seen reports confirming it yet. I'm just going based off the fact that neither guy has practiced. They just got off the practice field moments ago, the Texans did. And for the second straight day, Nico Collins and Will Anderson did not practice. I cannot overstate the severity of this. I cannot overstate how drastically this impacts the Texans' ability to win this football game. I think Nico Collins is the most valuable non-Stroud player on the offensive side of the football for this team. I think we've seen that play out over the past handful of weeks when he has not been out there. This offense has been a train wreck. I know a lot of it has to do with the offensive line, but Nico has a symbiotic effect on everything, on everybody, being out there. I think the offensive line actually looks better if CJ has some looks he can get out quick to Nico Collins. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. And Will Anderson Jr. is their most valuable player on the defensive side of the ball. So the Texans are going into this game, it would appear. Now, maybe something changes on Friday. By the time you're listening to this, maybe both of them are limited and practicing. They still need to activate Nico. They haven't even opened his practice window yet. All the reports are that he's feeling good and that the hamstring is fine and he's running and he's ready to go. But as we know, if you listen to D'Amico Ryans this week on his coach's show, he was asked about how he handles injuries. He handles them extremely cautiously. He sounds like a coach that is very much inclined, especially when his team is 6-3 and has a 98% chance of winning the division. He sounds like a coach who's much more inclined to say, hey, I know you're ready. You're ready to go. And we said last week, you're going to be ready to go. Give it another week. He seems like that kind of coach. You can like it or not like it, but I think that's what it is. And I think empirically, if you look at this Lions game, while it was a game everybody had circled at the beginning of the year as a possible Super Bowl preview, I don't think that's the case right now on the Texan side of the equation. They've got too many things to fix. But I also think in terms of the importance of this game, empirically, it's just not a very important game relative to other games still remaining on the schedule. The three games after this, the Dallas game, and the reason it's not an important game, it's an NFC game. So it doesn't factor into any of the division tiebreakers or conference tiebreakers or anything that would factor into seeding, at least not until you get to things like common opponents and stuff like that. So this is the same way, the same reason why the Green Bay loss and the Minnesota loss, as disappointing as they both were, they don't really impact things greatly. That Jets loss is a much worse loss than either of those because that's a conference loss. So it impacts tiebreakers. I think you look, and they've got the game against Dallas coming up the following Monday. And I think that's an important one for all of us because we want to beat the Cowboys. I think it's the fact that you've still got three division games, including two very winnable ones after the Cowboys game. And I don't think, my guess is D'Amico doesn't want to take any chances with Nico being out for those division games. The fact of the matter is, if they beat the Titans twice and the Jaguars once, they're going to win the division. There's no chance of the Colts going 10-7. So those three wins get you to 9-8 at worst, the Texans. And I think they know they're not catching the Chiefs for the number one overall seed. And I think you reach a point probably where you concede that, okay, we're going to have to go on the road eventually in the postseason. It'll probably be in the divisional round of the playoffs. And that's just where we are. That's, you know, it's unfortunate because I think we all went into this season thinking this was a team that could compete to get to a Super Bowl, and you still can once you get to the postseason. The nature of a one-and-done tournament is anybody can win. But until they get this offensive line fixed, bringing Nico Collins back, does that solve everything to the extent that you want to risk his hamstring? I would hope that he would play. I'm just trying to put myself in D'Amico Ryan's shoes when it comes to this thing, and factoring in that all the reports are is that Nico is ready to come back. So Will is different. We've not got any news on Will Anderson. It's, you know, it's yet another ankle injury. This one, he actually had a human being roll up on him. So we don't know how severe it is. But again, I think my hunch is they're not going to play. That's all. So that's disappointing because it would be really fun to beat the Lions, and they still can. Do I think they will? Well, let's get into that. Let's do the six pack here and get into the aspects of this game that we need to talk about here. Where's my six-pack graphic? There it is. Oh, yeah, quickly, let me remind you, if you want to email me, houmailbag@gmail.com. That's the email. If you want to shoot me an email, I usually do. If you shoot me one today, I will not look at it probably until after the Lions game on Sunday. So just make sure it's a question that is answerable come early next week. Good evergreen questions I'm fine with. You know, big picture, non-game related. But if it has anything to do with the Lions, obviously, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to do my next mailbag till Tuesday in case you guys are new to the podcast. So let's get to the six pack, pregame six pack, where I give you.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry about that. I was using my cursor and I flaked out for a little bit. Hopefully this got edited out. Let's get to the pregame six pack and get to the different factors in this game that I think are going to matter. Five factors in the game, and then the sixth can is always a prediction. So let's start off with the first can, and this is Bobby Slowick, do something. Okay, I'm operating under the assumption that we will not have Nico Collins in this game. We know that there will be no Stephon Diggs in this game. He's out for the season with a torn ACL. That's unfortunate. I hate that for Stephon Diggs. I hope that we see Stephon Diggs in a Texans uniform again someday, that he's back next year at the right price. That would be really cool. But for purposes of this Sunday, no Nico, no Stephon Diggs. And at this point, zero confidence that Bobby Slowick can coordinate his way out of a paper bag when it comes to scheming things up. Well, guess what? The paper bag needs to be schemed out of, Bobby. This needs to be a Bobby Slowick game. You got to find some ways to beat a superior group of football players with CJ Stroud, an offensive line that is a mess, Joe Mixon, who's a beast, and then a wide receiving core and tight end core that has underperformed or is really just Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz, and then a bunch of other dudes. You got to find a way to, if you're leaning on Joe Mixon, mix in play action, scheme some guys open, do something that makes life easier for CJ Stroud. Hopefully Jarrett Patterson in there for Kenyon Green actually makes things significantly easier. I'd have to go back and watch, but I would say, just purely estimating, like if the Texans had on offense, if they snapped the ball, say 50 or 60 times in the last game, and they had 15 plays that felt disastrous. Look, CJ was pressured on 50% of his dropbacks. I feel like Kenyon Green was the cause for like 80% of those. If Jarrett Patterson just gets in the way of people, he's an improvement over Kenyon Green. But Bobby Slowick has got to scheme some things for this team to find a way to get points in this game. You have got to earn your money. You've got to earn whatever reputation it was that you had after last season that had you doing interviews at Arthur Blank's house for the Falcons job. If this is another game where, and I don't care that Nico's not there and that Stephon Diggs is not there, and this is another game where there are no touchdowns in the second half, fuck that. That's unacceptable for bad teams, let alone the Texans, who I don't think are a bad team. They've got talented guys. So Bobby Slowick needs to show the hell up in this game and do something to help his quarterback and to help his team find some yards, find some points, make adjustments. That's can number one. Can number two just got a whole lot harder if Will Anderson is not going to play. But again, this is kind of on D'Amico Ryans now. Similarly, is it D'Amico Ryans has to find a way, whether it's through blitzing or whether it's, you know, maybe this is a game where D'Amico Autry, you know, really reinforces why they got him. He had two sacks in the last game, which was great. But they need to heat up Jared Goff is where I'm going with this, whether it's by blitzing, whether they're able to line up D'Amico Autry on one side as if he's Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter on the other, let's go. Derek Barnett did practice today, so that's good. Jerry Hughes is back practicing. That's good. So they've got a full complement of defensive ends, and they've got a couple pretty good pass rushers. Danielle Hunter is an elite pass rusher. D'Amico Autry, pretty damn good. So there should still be opportunities here to get some heat on Jared Goff. I know that Lions offensive line is very, very good. But you got to find a way to get pressure on Jared Goff. Will Anderson not being there is really going to hurt the double teams that he would normally absorb that make life easier for everybody. And again, I'm operating under the assumption he's not playing. Maybe by the time you listen to this, we've gotten miraculous news that he is playing. But either way, you got to find a way to force Jared Goff into some mistakes. The problem is he's made very few mistakes this year. He's having an MVP caliber season. Very few mistakes. That needs to change on Sunday night. The Texans are going to need to win the turnover battle. This is a team, the Lions, where you're going to need a couple of things. You're going to need to win the turnover battle in this game. Hopefully win it and get some short fields out of it as well if there's no Nico Collins. And I would say, and I'll just throw another the third can in here because it kind of plays into this, special teams. You're going to need to find a way to get some yards in the return game. Damian Pierce did not practice today. I would suspect he's going to be out. So there goes your kick returner. That's something Damian's actually done pretty well is return kicks. So Steven Sims, Robert Woods, they're going to need to show up in the return game. Whoever they put back there, they're going to need to show up in the return game. This is a game where the Texans are going to need to win the turnover battle, and that means heat up Jared Goff and win the invisible yard battle, which means the turnovers need to turn into short fields or even 6 points. That would be good. And on special teams, can't be giving up long returns. You cannot give yards to the Lions. Ask the Titans. That Titans game that the Lions won 52-14, there was a point in the game that the Lions were winning like 49-14, and they had more return yards than they did passing yards in that game. Significantly more. And this just in, Jared Goff, as I just mentioned, is having an MVP season. So got to win the special teams battle, got to win the turnover battle, got to heat up Jared Goff. So again, number one, Bobby Slowick, do something. Number two, heat up Jared Goff. Number three, special teams and invisible yards. And now we get to the really important ones. Number four, got to tackle. Improving this team's tackling had been a focal point for the Texans coming into the season. And I would say for a head coach who skews toward leaving criticism behind closed doors, DeMeco Ryans has been very open about his dissatisfaction with the team's tackling in 2023, in training camp, last year's tackling. He was very open about that. We got to get better at tackling. Out of the gate this season, the message was heard. They were a much better tackling team. But that didn't last. They've gotten back into some bad habits tackling. Not as bad as the low points of last year, but still not good, and not good enough to play the Lions, that's for sure. They cannot miss tackles on Sunday, at least not rampant missed tackles, if they want to have a chance to win this game. The Lions running backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, are among the best after contact guys in all of football, and a lot of the Lions' concepts offensively in the passing game are designed for short hitters to get guys on the run, guys like Sam Laporta at tight end and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, the running backs themselves, get in space and run and get yards after the catch. Limiting the yards after the catch, limiting the yards after the contact in this game is an absolute must. This team has to tackle well to win this game. They have to have their best tackling game of the year. If I had to guess, we always hear after wins that DeMeco Ryans had a theme or a number one bullet point each week. You know, I think against Indianapolis, it was no strain, no gain. You know, there was... In other games, it's, you know, win the turnover battle or whatever it is. This is tackle. This is the tackle game. You got to tackle. All right. Final can before the prediction. Can number five. Speaking of tackle, different type. That's tackle as a verb. Tackle as a noun and guard as a noun and center as a noun. The offensive line, as promised, protecting and as promised by me to you, the listener, protecting CJ Stroud will remain the number one priority in this podcast space. Until the Texans prove that they can do it at a, I would say at a merely below average level, as opposed to you suck ass level. Get to below average, you know? Of the 10 really horrific plays, eliminate 5 of them. How about that? But right now, they're so far below average, they are under the stadium at NRG. And the Jets did it to him last week. They allowed pressure, the Texans did, on Stroud on over half of the dropbacks. He was sacked 8 times. And I think what's even worse is the fact that the sacks and the pressures and the hits all seem to be affecting him. Like the 50% of dropbacks that CJ's getting pressure on are bleeding into the ones where he's not pressured because he's feeling pressure. You know, he's not stepping up in the pocket confidently the way he used to. He's got jittery feet, all those things. So Stroud's overall pocket presence and feet have taken a hit through this process. Now, do I think this is uncurable? Do I think he has the yips now? No, I don't. I think he needs a game where he's comfortable in the pocket and he'll be right back to being CJ Stroud. But until I see this offensive line do that, I have no confidence that that's going to happen. The key thing for this matchup is limiting pressure. Is the Lions' ability to turn the ball over. What I mean by that is the key thing. Yeah, the sacks and the hits are one thing. If they force C.J. Stroud into some bad throws or some errant throws, their safety duo, Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, they've intercepted 10 passes this year. So C.J. needs time to make his reads, make good decisions, not to mention avoiding dying on the field from another dozen or so hits from very large people. So that's key number five. So again, Bobby Slowick, do something. Heat up Jared Goff. Get you some yards on special teams, and don't give up yards on special teams. Tackle, protect C.J. Stroud. Final can, as the Texans are a 3.5-point underdog. I right now do not have the confidence that they will be able to do these things on Sunday, and I would love for them to prove me wrong. Would love for them to prove me wrong. But until I see it with my own eyes, I can't pick it. And I know that they're good at home, and I know they haven't lost two in a row since D'Amico's first two games as a head coach. This is a really, really good football team coming into NRG Stadium. I think it's the best team in football. They have by far the highest point differential in football. They are a top five unit on all sides of the football. They are well coached. They are confident. They hit. They fight. Lions 37, Texans 24. And may God have mercy on my soul on the radio on Monday for how angry everybody's going to be that this team is 6-4 when a year ago they were 6-4 and everybody was thrilled. It's amazing what expectations can do. And C.J. Stroud getting hit like a punching bag. So that's where I am with this right now. I am not at a place with this team where I feel good about blindly picking them to win this game without two of their best players and with their offensive line showing zero proof that they are grasping the concepts they're being taught. Sorry. So Lions 37, Texans 24. That's my prediction. Now, the good news is that my record this season picking the Texans, I am only 5-4 straight up picking them. I'm 1-8 against the spread picking them. So if we're taking that as any sort of history here, I think the only game that I picked them to cover the spread where they did was the Patriots game. Every other one I've been on the wrong side of the spread. So that should mean at the very least, this is going to be a close game. And I do wonder, and think about this over the weekend. And if you're thinking about sending in an email, let me know. I do wonder if the Texans lose 31-28 on a last second field goal without Nico Collins and Will Anderson. Is that enough for people to kind of soften their stance a little bit on where the Texans are? For me, the answer would be only if the 28 for the Texans came from them executing their offense well. And only if it came from getting, say, like a touchdown each quarter. You know, like I don't need them jumping out to a 21-3 lead and then letting the Lions back in this game, as it seems like they would do. That's kind of their deal, like they did with the Buffalo Bills. So it's something to think about. But as of right now, I think the Lions are the much better team. They are in the key spots in this matchup, better coached, specifically defense against that Texans offensive line. 37-24 Lions is my prediction. All right. So let's finish up here. Once again, a reminder that you can email the show at houmailbag@gmail.com. houmailbag@gmail.com. Another quick reminder, pregame show starts at 4:20. Right outside NRG Stadium. It's Texans Countdown. It'll be me and Seth Payne. If you're going to the game, come by and say hello. Kickoff is at 7:20, and then Clint Sterner and I have you for the postgame show into the wee hours of the morning. Hopefully victorious. I am here to be wrong, as you know. So there we go. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting this podcast out to you guys. Until then, have a great weekend. Hope to see you out at NRG on Sunday. Let's go get one, Texans. We'll see you guys. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.